This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 19 verses 1 to 6. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, that's okay, as I'll be reading it for you. Since our church picnic is outside, I often like to speak about something connected to the created world that God has made. Our surroundings are like vivid illustrations that we can see right in this moment as to what God is talking about in His Word. You'll see what I mean as I read the passage for you. So this is Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. That's Psalm 19, 1 to 6. How does our world view the skies? For some of them, they use the heavens as some sort of guide to life, making use of horoscopes for life advice. For others, they see the skies as being there by accident or chance. They think that the sky, space, planets, things like that just got there from a big bang and process of millions of years of evolution. So some people see some sort of influencing power in the skies, and others minimize the skies as something there by mere happenstance. Yet how should we view the skies that we see every day, according to the Bible? Well, in this passage, we find that God's glory is declared in creation. Look there, and it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. So what we learn is that God's glory is clearly declared in the skies. Now, we know that Paul in Romans talks about how God's invisible attributes are seen in all of creation. But here the focus is primarily on the heavens and the sky. That is, David is focused on how the sky, sun, moon, and stars declare the glory of God. So when you look up, you see the God who is high above everything else. You see God's majesty, splendor, greatness, and amazingness. You see God exists. You see that He's mighty, because you are seeing His presence and power on display, witnessing His amazing handiwork. The world is truly a creation. It is God's handiwork on display for all to see. And to think that the fall has marred creation with weeds, things like that. So just imagine what it looked like before the fall. As you look around your house, you may see your handiwork. You may see your handiwork in the things that you made. And maybe it's you made your own house. Maybe you made that piece of furniture. But when you look at the whole world, you're seeing God's handiwork. The sun and moon that constantly remain in the sky, God's work. The planets that we only have a limited knowledge about are bigger than the earth, God's achievement. The stars that shine brightly in a dark night sky, which are trillions of miles away from us, God's handiwork. We get so used to the creation around us that we neglect to see how marvelous it really is, which highlights how even more marvelous the Creator is. Also, due to our scientific advancements, we sometimes feel as though the world is smaller, more understandable, more graspable, yet we must not lose that sense of awe. The sky is declaring something, and that something is God. Since the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky proclaims His handiwork, then they're pointing to something other than themselves. Imagine an announcer in a sports game making the whole game about himself. It would be ridiculous. An announcer is supposed to be talking about something or someone else. So also, the heavens aren't meant to be an end in themselves that we worship, but they were meant to be pointers to God who made them. And so how often do you think of the sky as a proclaimer? The sky as an announcer, because it is. It is declaring, it is proclaiming the glory of God. Not only is God's glory clearly declared, but it's clearly declared every day. Verse 2, day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. By stating day to day and then night to night, the psalmist is emphasizing that creation speaks all day long, every single day and night. The heavens have been declaring and proclaiming him every single second of every single day ever since the beginning of time. The sky is continually proclaiming the handiwork of God. There is not a single day that goes by that the heavens do not speak of God's glory. You know, it's not like an eclipse, which only happens on certain days and certain years. And if you miss it, you miss it. No, God's glory is revealed every day in the sky. And so you walk outside of your house on a Monday morning, it's proclaiming. You drive home late at night on a Thursday, it's declaring. Speech is being expressed on a daily and nightly basis. In fact, he says that speech is poured out and knowledge is revealed. And so you cannot get around this fact. Creation is speaking about and revealing God. And so do you want to know some things about God? Look to creation. Paul actually says his eternal power and divine nature are plain to people in the things that he made. If someone said the same thing all day long, every day, wouldn't it be clear what they were saying? Of course, it would be plain to everyone what was said. So also God is plainly revealed in creation, and so people are without excuse. Why? Because day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. That word translated as pours out really points to something that gushes out, emits, or bubbles forth like a spring. It's like speech about God, who God is constantly gushing out. It's being poured out onto the world, so it covers everything. God is saying something to us through his world. And yet the sad thing is that many people ignore it. As Romans 1 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. They suppressed the knowledge of God that is being spoken to them every single moment of every single day all around them. Now, a question that may rise up in someone is this. How are the heavens speaking when there are no actual words? You know, it's not like I look up to the sky and I see this banner saying, God is real. It's not like I look up to the heavens and hear the words, God is so powerful, isn't he? Well, verse 3 acknowledges that. It says there is no speech nor are there words. The psalmist is saying that the heavens are speaking, but it's not actual words being used. It's wordless speech. You know how someone's body language can speak volumes, even though they don't say a word? So also, creation speaks volumes without a word. The heavens are not silent, no matter how silent they may appear. But this is also good news because it means that creation's speech is not hindered by language. It's not like the heavens speak only in English, Spanish, or French, and so those who can't speak those languages are out of luck. No, because the heavens speak without words, then God can be universally known by all people. In fact, as verse 4 makes clear, their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So creation's speech is not hindered by any language, geography, time, or culture barrier. The glory of God being proclaimed in the heavens is being proclaimed everywhere. It's not only heard in Pennsylvania or Israel or some other country, and that's it, but it goes out through all the earth, even to the end of the world. What's interesting is that modern science claims to be all about open-mindedness to what they observe. And yet, they are ignoring the most obvious continual evidence that is being broadcasted all across the globe, every single moment of every single day, the glory of God. And so David has told us generally that God's glory is declared in creation, but now he will share with us an example of God's glory in creation, the sun. You know, in our day, you know, we don't talk a lot about the sun. It's just sort of there every day, in the background, giving us the sunlight and heat that we need. So scientists study it and they try to explain it. We admire it We're thankful when we look out and we see that the sun is shining on that day. And yet throughout history, especially ancient history, there were people who worshiped the sun. People became infatuated with it since it was seen as giving the whole world light and heat, and it has this daily orderly journey across the sky. Well, David's statements here certainly emphasize the sun, yet they are meant to show that the sun is not to be worshipped. It's merely an example of God's glory. It's reflecting God, the creator of it. There's one who is over the sun. He's greater than the sun. He made the sun. He controls the sun. Therefore, the sun is not an end of worship in itself. It leads us to worship God who set it there. Verse 4 says, in them he has set a tent for the sun. And when he says in them, he means in the heavens, in the sky. So this statement isn't meant to be taken literally, right? It's not meant to be taken literally scientifically, where we say, wait a second, that's not right. The sun doesn't go to a literal tent at the end of the day. It's meant to merely show that God has set the dwelling place for the sun, meaning he put it exactly where he wanted it. Not looking at the sun from the perspective of space, but from the perspective of a person on Earth, it looks like at the end of the day, the sun goes into its dwelling place, and then when a new day begins, the sun comes out of his tent and we see it again. The most important thing here is that it's God who has set the place for the sun. The sun didn't just magically appear one day. It didn't always exist. Rather, God set it there. They say that the average distance of the sun from the Earth is, listen to this, 93 million miles away. Its light can hurt your eyes. Its heat can make you burn. The sun's core is said to be 27 million degrees hot. The light we see from it is just a fraction of the sun's total energy output. So how much more powerful, bright, glorious, and great is our God? And so not only has God set the sun in his place, but he has set up a course for the sun to run. We are told here in this passage that the sun comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. The psalmist uses some different illustrations to speak about what the sun does on a daily basis. First, the sun is like a bridegroom bursting forth out of his chamber when it rises. In that day, the groom would go out of his house to get his bride on the wedding day, and so the groom would burst out of his room in joy, excitement to claim his bride. And that's what the sun is like every day. It bursts onto the scene with a certain radiance, joy, excitement, like a groom on his wedding day. And as sure as that groom comes out of his house to get his bride, the sun comes out in a radiant glory to begin the day. And that's what God has made the sun to do every single day without fail. He has set the sun to burst from its place, to shine on us for our good. And so every time that you look out and see that beautiful sunrise, maybe right now you're able to look out and see that sun shining, or maybe not, but you know it's there and you know it's shining. You can think of it as if the sun is like that groom bursting out of his house in radiant excitement for the day. As the sun bursts forth in radiant joy, so also God gives us the common grace of it shining upon us and so giving us joy. Not only that, but we also see another illustration. The sun is like a strong man running a race. So a strong athletic runner sets out with what? Intentionality, purpose, meaning they're focused on running the race set before them. They aren't distracted. They don't take what they're about to do lightly. And so also the sun sets out and it goes along its path across the sky with a certain intentionality. It's the way that God has made it to work. It doesn't float all over the place haphazardly so that you never know where the sun will be in the sky on that day. In fact, it's by the sun that many travelers in the past could figure out which direction to go. It's purposeful. It's intentional. And that just goes to show our purposeful and intentional God, who never works haphazardly. You can trust his control, his order, his purpose. Every look at the purposeful path of the sun can be a reminder of our even more purposeful God who does all things according to his good purpose. Note also that the psalm says that the sun is like a strong man, and what that means is it's a great athlete. So it's not like the sun is some weak, struggling person that's running. No, the sun is like this strong man because it runs its course with power and strength. There aren't things that obstruct or deter it from continuing along its path. It just continues along its path with this certain unhindered strength. We never have to worry, do you think the sun will make it along its path today? But God has created it to go across the sky with a steady strength that is never impeded, and so its strength points to the infinitely better strength of its maker, the Lord. He is mighty to save, mighty to work, mighty to do more than we could ever imagine. Do you rely on the strength of God who made the sun, who gave it its strength? Also, David says that the sun is like a strong man who runs its course with joy. So the sun is like a strong athlete who loves to run his course and finish the race. Every single day, the sun bursts onto the landscape, and it makes it look like it's coming out with joy. Another day has arrived, and then it goes along its course as if it were joyously running a race, for it never deters from its path, but every single day does the same thing. The psalmist is personifying the sun as if to say, even the sun finds joy in the purpose for which God made it. Do we find joy in the purpose for which God created us, to glorify and enjoy him forever? How often do we speak about the path of the sun and how even that can point us to our God? As David points out, the sun's circuit is from one end of the heavens to the other. It goes across the whole sky, and the sun's heat touches everything. Nothing is hidden from the heat of the sun. It radiates its heat all over the globe. You know, often heat sources have a limited area of impact. Your house's heat source can only really heat your house, but it couldn't heat your whole property, the yard and all. It certainly couldn't heat your neighborhood. A fire pit outside can only heat up a limited area around it. Yet God has provided the sun, which heats up the whole world. And that just goes to show, once again, his great power. Yet the sun's heat doesn't just show his power. It actually also shows his goodness and grace. Because do you realize that if we didn't have the sun as a source of heat, that the earth would be inhabitable? Like we couldn't live on it? I'm not sure exactly how accurate this is, but scientists say that within a few days without the sun, the temperature would plummet below freezing. And you might say, okay, I can make it. Well, just wait, for after a year, it would be -100 or even colder, and eventually the temperature would probably end up at about -400 degrees. We need the sun's heat. The sun's heat reaches all over the world. The heat from the sun is a blessing to all of us, and it reflects God's goodness and grace. He has given us what we need. Do you remember how good and gracious God is and how he provides for your needs? He is not lacking in power or goodness, but feel the heat of the sun. Be reminded of his goodness and his power. You see, David is teaching us that the sun has a global impact. It goes from one end to the other. It touches everything. So also God's work isn't limited to like a small region. His power, his work, his influence goes from one end of the earth to the other. It's global. Nothing is hidden from the Lord or his touch. He can work in any situation, anywhere. No matter if you're here in Clearfield, central Pennsylvania, or halfway around the globe in Australia or someplace like that. No matter if you're in a deep, dark cave or in the highest heights in an airplane, God's goodness and power can reach you there. The sun is a prime example of God's glory. Just look at its path. Look at its reach. Look at its strength. And let it point you to its creator, the Lord. And to think, as Job says, these are but the outskirts of his ways. And so, yes, the sun may be shining its light on us, but it's really shining its light on God, showing how amazing He is. And any glory we see in the sun is a reflection of the ever greater glory of God. You see, this passage in Psalm 19 is teaching us that God is constantly speaking to us through the world around us. The heavens are speaking. They are saying something continually, everywhere, in wordless speech, but how often do you look up and listen? The whole earth is truly full of His glory. Nature is exuberant with a message that God exists and He's awesome. And so the question is, what should our rightful response be to these things? Well, we could really take what Paul says of people, what they did wrong in Romans 1, and seek the opposite of those things. And so instead of doing those things, we instead acknowledge that our God exists. He is there. We just look around. We see evidence of His existence in what He made and how He even sustains us right this very moment. But secondly, we go further than mere acknowledgement of His existence. We give Him thanks. We thank God for the sun that gives us light and heat, and for the air that we breathe, and for the beautiful skies that we see. Every single day should be a day filled to the brim and overflowing with thanks to God who gives us everything. And so creation should rebuke our ungratefulness. It should instead stir us on to thanksgiving. And lastly, even further than mere acknowledgement and thanks, we give Him honor and worship. We don't keep Him at a distance. We draw near in humble admiration and worship as we bow down before the Lord our Maker. As His creations, we reflect His glory. We were made in the image of God. But going further than that, we are called to do everything to the glory of God. So does your life declare and proclaim the glory of God? And to think that we don't just know the general glory of God in creation, but we know the glory of God in a clearer, more deeper way, for we know Jesus. Jesus is called the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Paul says that God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, God's glory is seen in creation. It's declared in creation, but His glory is seen most evidently and powerfully in His Son, who came into this creation and died for our sins and rose again. So do you think creation is amazing for what it proclaims about God? Just take a look at Jesus Christ, for it's there that we find God and see not only that He exists, but we see His power, His wisdom, His goodness, and His grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful world that You have made. We're thankful for what You have done, what You have given to us, what You provide, Your goodness, Your strength, and how everything around us really does point to You and Your glory, because You made it all, Lord. As we see the beautiful skies, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything around us, it just reflects Your glory and how amazing You are and who You are in some ways. But Lord, we're especially thankful for Jesus and how He came to this earth, and He is full of glory. Glory is of the only Son. We're thankful for so much for Him, and that we get the privilege of knowing Him, and through Him, knowing You. And so I pray that knowing these things, that we will give You glory in our lives as we go our separate ways, and that we would be reflections of Your glory, and that we would shine a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.